It's my delight this morning to introduce to you Brian Saunders and his ministry to Uganda. Brian is a Grove City resident, so he's not a minister, but he is a minister of the gospel that goes to Uganda and preaches, teaches, and brings little kids to the Lord, as well as encouraging orphanages and the care of those kids. We have an offering basket at the back, a love offering, and at the table where his display is. We encourage you to stop there and look at things and be familiar with it and get involved in their ministry. Brian, Lord bless you.
Thank you. Well, they said they turned me on, so it sounds like they did, so we're good. So today, when Pastor asked me to come, I've been struggling all week with what message to bring to you guys, because for some reason there is a burden on my heart for this church. I've never attended here. I don't know any faces other than a few that are familiar faces from another place. And I'm just so grateful to be here because I feel God's going to do something amazing. So, yes, my information's on the screen there. But before we get started, I want to tell you about my best friend and introduce you to him. Because my best friend is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is on the move. Okay? He's on the move in Uganda, but he's also on the move here in America. And he's on the move here right now, inside of this body, inside of this church. And there's times that I'm going to pause because I just can't even understand the overwhelming power of God's word. Because this is the truth, the total truth. And in here, it says that God loves you. He loves you more than you can even imagine. I am not a preacher. I am not a public speaker. Actually, in high school, I did everything I could do to make sure I didn't have to read in front of the class. But, you know, we have this joke in our family that we never tell God we're not going to do something. And needless to say, I guess I must have told him along the way that I was never going to speak in front of a church, because I've spoken in front of many by now. We're going to just pause and pray for a second, because there's something that's on someone here. And as I'm praying, I just want you to speak that to God. You can speak it out loud. You can speak it inside of your mind. But if you're suffering with an illness, God wants to heal you like that. God wants to move over you. So as I start to pray, I just want you to speak that to God. Okay? Heavenly Father, we just come to you humbly. You want to move on some bodies here today, Lord. You want to give them strength. You want to give them healing. You want to give them power to use you in the ways that you wish for them to move, Lord. We just pray that you'll guide us and give us wisdom. We pray that you'll give me the words to speak today and the message to bring. In Jesus' strong and mighty name, amen. So, our mission started about 6 years ago, and it all started 7 years ago. We're going on 7 years now. It all started by a picture like this when I was 7 years old. At 7 years old, I remember sitting in the country in Vermont, and a picture came on the screen like this and said, "Feed my children." At that moment, I knew I was called to go to Africa. I don't know how I knew. I don't even know how I remember that, because I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I remember that moment and a picture that looked just about like this. Well, this picture, I want you to remember, because it's going to come back. The problem with this is I grew up in a family that didn't go to church. I didn't even know who God was. And I kept saying, "God, how am I at 7 years old going to feed children in Africa? But yet you want to do something." So this is the question I'm going to pose to you today. If you were a millionaire, what would you do for Jesus? So I saw in the back of some of these pews that there's a pen. I want you to take out this little flyer and write on the top what you think you would do for God if you are a millionaire. Hey? Maybe you want to show it to your spouse. Maybe you want to keep it to yourself until you hear the rest of the message. But just write down what you would do for God. And if you want to give 10%, because that's what tithing says, you know, give 10%, that's 100,000. In case you don't remember, know where that number is, it's 100,000. Okay, so I think people around the world struggle with their value to God. So I'm going to try and take you to what God says by using money, because it seems the world is focused around money. So if I'm a millionaire, God, then I can go feed these people in Africa. But the problem is, I'm not a millionaire. Problem is, I watched my family lose their house when I was 15 years old. And I didn't have any of that money. I didn't know how I was going to do that. So I just kept asking God, well, how do you have a value in me? A person that's watching his family lose everything. Yet you think that I'm going to go and feed people in Africa. So I did what most people do. I just kept quiet. I said nothing to anyone. Until I was married for 12 years to my wife, 30 years later, I said to her, hey, we need to go to Africa. And she said, I'm not going to live in a hut. There is no way I'm going to live in a hut. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. We're supposed to go to Africa. So I want you to see the value that God has of you. He wants to show you how much worth by using money. And since we just went through a pandemic, we're going to understand a little bit better now what people are looking at, because it's happened to a lot of people. So let's just assume that the cost of intensive care is around $1,500 a day for a person. Just to have air to breathe, just to be on a ventilator and breathe that air, it's $1,500 a day. But if we think about that, today we all went... And what did it cost you? Did it cost you anything at all to breathe in that? But today, if we were to go into human standards, it would cost you $1,500 just to breathe like that today. So if you're a year old, then God has already given you $547,000 in one day, in one year. So I'm asking, if I don't think there's too many in here that under the age of two. So remember the number you wrote down on there if you're a millionaire. Well, if you've lived for 1 year, it's 500,000. If you've lived for 2 years, God's calling you a millionaire. Because he's giving you that much air to breathe. That's without any other blessings. And God wants to bless us every single day. But he wants to take us out of our comfort zone. Okay? For me, this is a big stretch to speak in front of a church. Okay? Sometimes I think I layer on like 5 layers of deodorant because I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? The other crazy thing is I don't have a lot of words on most of my slides because as I'm standing here, God gives me a different direction and I have to change like that. So that's a struggle sometimes. But I know that God's at work. Okay, so I'm willing to do it. So if you're in that range of any of those years, that's what God says you're worth if we're looking at human standards. But the thing is, God isn't human. God is fully human, fully God, and he's looking at you with 10 times the blessings that are on top of these pages. So if you're sitting there and people are thinking, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm not a preacher, I'm saying God has already made you a millionaire. Now let's go out there and serve this world, however he asks, because he's already made you a millionaire. Now, do I have the funds in my pocket to say that I'm a millionaire? I don't. But I have all the time in the world, all the breath to breathe, to spread the news that Jesus Christ is my best friend. And if I'm willing to do that, and one soul came to Jesus today, it's worth everything that God has given to me. The love offerings that I get at churches are great, but I just look for one soul to come to know Jesus Christ as their best friend. Once someone accepts that, I'll get all the rewards I need when I get to heaven. All those rewards in saying, good and faithful servant, well done. Look at this one, you've saved them. Many times the pastor comes or I come and we bring a message and we never know. we never know what people responded to and we don't. Because we as humans, especially in America, we tend to keep quiet. Because if I bring out that I was saved, now the pastor's going to ask me to do this or that or this. But you see, you encourage him by telling him that, hey, your message, I came to know Jesus today because of that message you just spoke. So be an encouragement to each other. God's called me to be an encourager. Hey? This picture bounced back at me again and has for years just come back into my mind over and over. And the more I grow in Jesus, the more I realize that Jesus is just total love. Christianity is supposed to be about total love. Hey, I don't know any of you, yet I already love you. Why? It's only because Jesus first loved me. And when I say I love you, that's what I truly mean. When you come to me with a burden and say, pray for this, I truly love you to my spirit. I was talking to the pastor yesterday when we set up this enormous television here in the front of everything, and I said, how do you preach every Sunday? Because when I deliver a message, everything that's in me is out. I want you to have everything that God tells me to give. And it takes every bit of energy that I have to put out what God wants to do. So appreciate your pastor, because I don't understand how they do it every week. I can tell you, I'll leave here today. If I can manage to get this in, even in my truck, I'll be ready to go home and take a nap. Like, that's the way God uses if you're open to it. But he wants to use every single person in this church the same way. We think that's the pastor's job to bring the message. But really, it's all of our jobs. So since we're going to take a tour into Uganda, I had to give you a passport. Because to travel internationally, you have to have a passport. So this passport is in your bulletin this morning, along with a little bit about our ministry. But this passport is more than just a passport so we can travel today. This passport tells you exactly how to come to know Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you don't know Jesus as your best friend, read this over. Call me. Call the pastor. Ask them. Explain to me, who is this Jesus and why is he doing what he's doing to me right now? Because this is the key to us meeting again. I may never visit this church again. But if you're in this passport, if you have put your name in the book of life, we will meet again in heaven. No matter if God takes me today. But it's a free gift. See, Jesus doesn't look at money like we just talked about. He looks at a free gift and love. And the fruit of the Spirit, that I say I love you, that's the fruit of the Spirit flowing from Jesus to me, to you, and so on. And God did the same thing for this ministry. At 7 years old, I was called. Then we decided we were going to go. Okay? These two boys actually are here with us today. Those two boys, that's all the picture I had. I had that one picture to make a choice if we were willing to adopt them and bring them to America and live with us and change their life forever. That's what we had. No information, no idea if they had any medical issues, nothing. The people sent me a picture and said, are you and your wife willing to take these two boys? Hey, people always ask me, well, how did you choose them? I didn't. God chose them for us. And before we went, I could see their hands and the veins in their hands. And I remember telling people at the church we were attending at that time, I can see their hands. Somehow God gave me this vision of exactly their hands holding each other. And I was confused because God showed me three people walking together that were all about the same height. Well, when we got to Uganda, these two were there, and their aunt is like this tall. So I soon realized that I wasn't supposed to take three kids, but I was supposed to take these ones and then love the aunt as if she was coming with us also. So the law that's in the Bible, when they're asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He's telling them, love each other, love me. That's why I'm saying the purpose that God really has for our lives is to show love to other people, to show love to God all the time in our lives. If we're not doing that, then we should be asking, is Jesus really in me? Is Jesus really there? And yes, there's many times that I don't want that. I want to be angry. I want to say no. You know, we all go through that. But we have to turn around and look back and say, okay, is this really what God would want me to do? Is this really how God would want me to act? Before we react. And if we've already reacted, we need to go back to that person and apologize and say, listen, that wasn't me. That was my humanness. That wasn't God. Do you see? Pennsylvania is way over there on that side, and where we're traveling today is to Uganda. It's about a 21-hour flight to get over there, jumping back and forth between planes. It's a small landlocked country. It's right on the equator, so the weather is beautiful. There's none of this stuff that's going on today. As I told my wife, when are we moving this morning? Because of that. The struggle is they went through some bad cases of AIDS, malaria, and all of those kind of things. So now half of the population is under the age of 15. And they expect in the next 5 years to be growing by 1 million people every year in their population because these boys and girls are coming to age of producing. So poverty is going to grow even further unless we step in and show them how to change what they're dealing with. Culture is totally different than here. They survive. So in the 7 years of us going back and forth, it's been a lot of struggle with survival. Because they want to focus on surviving for today. We're asking them to focus on the future. But that is totally against their culture because most Ugandan kids don't know if they're going to eat that same day. They may have what they call breakfast in the morning, which is hopefully water with some type of crushed up tea leaf in it, or milk with some type of crushed up tea leaf in it. If they're really well off, they would have porridge, which is going to be like corn flour and water, so it has some texture to them. That's what our kids would get at our school, and hopefully they have some sugar to go with it. But that evening, when that child goes home, they're just hoping that there's dinner there. Most of the time, they're scavenging, looking around for food. Now, students that come to our school, they get 3 meals a day. But that's almost unheard of in Uganda. So they still eat local food because we need to be cost effective. So our school there, we have about 550 students that attend. Only 80 of them are sponsored. And it's a pay-as-you-can school. So we struggle with many needs. But I wanted to take you through some of the things that are in Uganda that look much different. So when Pastor asked me to share, I said, how am I going to show this to people without this screen? So that's why you're seeing this screen in front of us, so that we can show you how life really is. This is a fast food restaurant for them. You go there, you get what they call samosas. It's almost like a fried bread with beans in it. But none of our kids can really afford to do that. So this is one of the areas right in our village. About 85% of the population claim to know Jesus as their Savior. But they know Jesus through culture, not because they necessarily know Him as their Savior. But they just have had people come in, they preach the Word, they know the Bible, they know the Scripture. But you see, one of the tracks in the back there that I have, it looks like this. I just took this track to Uganda because in there, it talks about all the things that Uganda focuses on. So good efforts, good morals, education. If you're educated in Uganda, since it's not free, they look at you highly. And then that person that's educated gets prideful. So they're thinking, I'm educated enough to go to heaven, when really education has nothing to do with it. But we have these people in Uganda that are claiming to be Christians, that don't know Jesus. Hey, they know Scripture. They read Scripture. They talk Scripture. They will take you to different parts of the Bible. But they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. They're actually just being religious. So when I was there the last time, God brought this track to me and said, I need you to walk them through this and take them really on a journey. And I said, okay, what's the journey? And when we got to this part of religion, we said, let's be honest with ourselves. Muslims are very religious. Jehovah's Witnesses are very religious. They do certain tasks all the time. And some of them, more than me. But I'm saying without Jesus, they just get stuck. But when Jesus comes in between the religion and God, we see on the back, Christ covers all of those sins, covers all of that separation, so that we can just walk right over to God and be with God. So when I said this morning, Jesus is my best friend, that's who I need all the time. I can't live this life without Jesus, and I surely can't do this ministry without Jesus. Because without Jesus, there's no way I'd provide anything. Because the need is too heavy. Even if I was a millionaire, I could go there and spend $1 million today. But if I never teach them how to fish, they'll never survive. So these are some of the images from our village. So this is our everyday in Uganda. The people that we were talking about, they make $1.37 a day. This is an example of it. Each one of those yellow bottles is a water bottle. They will go and stand next to the hand pump well and pump water for hours to fill those up, to hook them back to their bicycle, to take them to town, and hope, there's no promise, hope that they can get 33 cents for each one of those bottles. Then the hope is that they sell all of those so they have enough food to feed their family that night. That's the reality of what they face every single day. And sometimes you can go a mile, 2 miles to get to there. And as we go through, you'll see where other people are gathering their water from. Thankfully, our school is different now, but the little kids, they don't even know what a toy is. This is their toys. This is on our compound. We took about 10 children one time during COVID, when the school was shut down, to the supermarket to buy a toy. They were so excited, they didn't even know what to do. Just to get a doll or a matchbox car. We did a birthday celebration in Uganda. My wife and a whole bunch of volunteers packed all these bags and we took them to Uganda. And they had candy and they had lollipops and they had pencils. And we had the church we were attending at the time bring in bouncy balls. So every bag had this small little bouncy ball in it. I had a 15-year-old kid come up to me and say, Mr. Brian, this candy does not taste very good. He said, I can't even chew it. And I said, no, it's not candy. And I had to show him what to do with that ball. That's the sad reality of what kids face in other countries. Okay? We look like he's working, but he's playing. He's enjoying playing, just pushing that wheelbarrow around. When my boys go, they load these little ones into that wheelbarrow and they'll just wheel them around and give them a ride. And it's a joy. But to have a parent, if we see these ones are small, parents don't have the same connection you have with your child. Okay? I'm seeing here, we got my hand around them. Over there, we're holding the kids. That connection doesn't exist the same way. Once that child is able to walk around, it's nothing to leave the child here, and I go out there and I do what I need to do, and then I come back, and maybe the child's crying, maybe it has snot running out of its nose, and no one's really cared for it. And I think, in the 7 years of going, I think the problem is they knew that their chance of survival was very low. So what they wanted to do was keep that connection as low as they could, so if that child passed away, they wouldn't have the same sadness. I went to a funeral of an 8-year-old when I was there. And I was so bothered. I didn't even know what to do because I couldn't tell where the mother was. There was no tears anywhere. The little girl had passed away a few days earlier, and there was no tears. And I was struggling with the idea. I didn't even know the child, and yet I'm bothered. And yet I have a parent sitting here, and there's not a tear in sight. I went with them when they buried the child, and the same thing. The father was there burying, and there was a bunch of men, and I couldn't tell where the father was. And I imagine, how would I here be able to deal with that? And I don't think I could. So these people need Jesus just like we do. So this is one of my fast food stands that I was getting breakfast at one morning. This is my favorite restaurant in Uganda. Okay? There's our cook, and all of her food is sitting next to her there. Okay? This is local food, and there's a little picnic table. You can see the bench behind her, next to her yellow shirt. There's literally one picnic table, and it might be the depth of this, where you all just squeeze around there and have your dinner. This is a common house that's there. And here's these guys again. So these guys, if they don't sell this water, won't have the food to pay for their children that day. The little hut that's down there in the bottom, someone's actually living in that hut. It was a garbage pit, and they've taken all the garbage and piled it onto the roof. And if you can see in the back there, there's another one that they're trying to construct right now. That's why all the plastic bags are around there, so that they can construct that and be there. And since they don't own the property, typically what will happen is the government will come in at some point and they'll just clear all that back out again after the person has been there for a while. This is a picture from a while ago, but it still bothers me. The little puddle of water there in the middle, we discovered this when I was there. They were washing all their sandals in that puddle of water. Then if you see the little water jugs, they dipped that into that puddle, scooped up the water and took it home so they could cook with it. And I was there that day that happened. Those two boys in the back are my boys. I was there adopting them at that time. And it still bothers me every time I see this picture, because that's a common thing in Uganda. Hey, here's another example of them dipping that water. This is out of a swamp. And we wonder why the children are dying. Hey, thankfully on our compound now we have a water purification system that stops all that from happening. We actually have a drilled well, but for years we didn't. That picture that was back there, this picture is on our compound. They were scooping water. And I had a motorcycle at that time, and I sold the motorcycle so we could dig a hand well, because they needed to have water other than that. When they told me they were doing this, I could smell that water. It was that bad. So, real life is, hey, here's one of our schools, or in our school, the kids that are there. And even though this is their dormitory and they're sleeping probably 45 students in this little tiny room, they're happy. This is the joy that they have. So, we as a ministry don't like to exploit all the bad pictures. We want to show you that they're still happy. It's amazing to me to see the happiness that they have. And I look there all the time and go, well, how can I not be like that, God? How come I'm sitting here just wondering? But you see, God blessed me to live here so I could serve out this way. So I could serve out and help those that are in need. God blessed you to be in America for a reason. It's your job to do whatever God asks you to do. Yes, it's going to be a stretch. Standing up here today is a stretch. But you know what? It's worth every minute of it when I see a child's life changed. When I see a person in Uganda come to know them. And I'm going to share this clip. I sent a camera around with some of the kids at our school. And these two boys, on their own, recorded this message. It's a few years back, but still, it's the same message that they have today. So we'll see if there's enough volume. I think there should be, where we can hear it. So if you heard what they were saying, and I know it's a struggle with the accent and everything, but they were thanking me because that trip I bought them mosquito nets and I bought them balloons. That's what they were thanking for, because we were buying those kind of things. Yes, they see other things going on in the compound that makes their life better, but they had to make a video just to thank us. And they knew that it was from other donors in America, so they named a few other people they knew, some other sponsors they knew, but they wanted to make sure everyone knew that they were thankful for what they had. So, God could be saying, you need to come to our and help our ministry. So this is one way that we help our ministry, is we sponsor children. It gives them food, gives them education. But any church I ever go to, I always say the same thing. Listen, some of you are going to come and help our ministry. Some of you are not. I'm not here to ask you to follow me. I'm here to ask you to follow Jesus. I'm here to ask you to actually step out of that comfort zone that you're in and do whatever He asks you to do. Yes, it's going to be hard. It's just like my wife when she said, I'm not going to live in a hut. Thankfully, God has never made us live in a hut. I did live in some conditions that weren't so great for a couple weeks, but I never made my wife suffer through that, because that was mine. She's always been okay. Now we have a guest house there, so if you want to visit, it's Americanized, where you can actually go and visit these children in real life. But so our sponsorship program, we have 80 children that are sponsored, or 106 children that are sponsored right now, about 80 of them at our primary school, and the other ones go on to vocational and secondary school. But again, all of these pictures that are around here that have these little black boxes, any one of those child is available for sponsorship. You can just grab it right off the table. You can come and see me back there. But even if you don't sponsor a child with me, God's moving today, and He's telling you something specific to do. Okay? I hear that we're retired on that side. You're never really retired if you're a Christian. God's got a grandchild. God's got a friend. Somebody that you're supposed to be witnessing to. This young man up here, he's never going to retire. He's going to be playing forever. Okay? So, the same thing. Just use what God has told you to use and go and do what He says. This is how much God loves you. He gave His own Son. If you've got children, think about that. Would you give up your own son for your neighbor? Your own son. I don't think I could do it. I don't know as a father how I could say, yes, I'm willing. But God did it because He loves you that much. And Jesus was willing. So Jesus loves you that much. Yes, He didn't want to go through the burden. He's the same thing as I'm saying. God, if you can find another way, find another way. But if you can't, I'll do it. I'm saying, God, if you can find another way to bring this message without me coming forward, then please do it. But if not, I'll do it. Now, what's God asking you to do specifically? Because every one of us has a task. It's a choice after that. It's a choice if we make that decision to move forward. So if someone came to us and said, I'm going to listen to the message, but I'm never going to Uganda. And I said, just be careful telling God that, because that may be exactly where you're going to go. Okay? I remember when God called me to go out onto the field at 7. And I remember when I was in a message where they said, go. And God made me weep because I knew I hadn't followed where He wanted me to be. And then I had to go because I had built my life with my wife and my children. Then I had to go to all of them and say, God, how am I going to explain what You just did? But I'm willing. And it was a stretch. We had many conversations, even over the adoption. We don't come from a well-off family. Hey, God was doing the perfect timing. The way we got to adopt was I was moving from one job to the other in my retirement with the exact amount that they told us it was going to cost for the adoption. And I said, I got you, God. I'll listen. I'll follow. Because my biggest fear was we were going to go into debt. Well, they don't tell you that there's additional cost in addition to that cost. So we did go into debt. But within 1 year, God paid it all off. And every trip that I ever take to Uganda, this ministry is all done volunteer. Every trip that I take to Uganda, God pays for it every single time, just like that. How? I don't understand it. But if God's calling you to do something crazy, and you know it's from God, He will find a way to fund it. Okay? This television was just bought this week for this exact purpose, right here to be with you. So obviously, God has a message for that. Okay? And the pastor was saying, you invested so much money in that. I said, listen, God has already multiplied it over. God already has a plan for this that I never saw until I purchased it. And then visions just started popping. Because I was willing to step out in one step of faith. And it sounds crazy that a television can change a life. But imagine trying to see what I just showed you by me just talking. It'd be nearly impossible. So the question is, how are you going to respond? So I'm going to pray. And if you've never met Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to really think about it. Okay? Not just in your mind. Because I think the struggle is we as humans, we take everything just as a mind thing. But this is a heart thing. This has to come from your heart. You have to be willing to give it all to God. Everything. Not just money. Not just time. But everything that's in you has to be given to God. Once you do that, the blessings that will flow are beyond anything you can imagine. When we stepped out and did this adoption, there was no plan to ever start a ministry. This ministry came out of being there, going further and further and further into debt. And I called my wife from Uganda as she was sitting here in America, and I said, I know that we're bringing these two boys home, but there's 450 boys and girls that are sitting right here that are going to starve today. How can I walk away? We came back, and yes, we made some plans. We started supporting small things just for food. And then God saw our willingness to follow, and started blessing us, and blessing us more, and blessing us more, and blessing us more. Until now we have 106 children that are sponsored. We have multiple buildings that have been framed in. School is so much better. They're eating 3 meals a day. They're so much better off than they were. But none of it came from me. It was my willingness. Yes, I tithe to there. Yes, I give money to there. But what I give could never have done what it's done. That's only Jesus moving. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today with humble hearts. We just pray, Lord, that if there's a heart in here that hasn't got to know You personally, that You'll open that heart up, that they'll be willing to take You on, Jesus, as their best friend within their heart. Because if they believe within their heart, then You will save them at this very moment, Lord. And the glory of heaven will shine down on them, Lord. We just pray that they're willing to step out and tell the pastor, to tell me, hey, I received Jesus today. So we can put them in the right direction of where to go to find the right resources. Because life isn't perfect once you take Jesus, Lord. But we know that You'll provide every opportunity. Lord, we come here today and we just ask that each task that You've given to each individual here, that they'll take a leap of faith just one small step today and step into that direction, whether it be to lead worship, whether it be to preach, whether it be to just go to Walmart and hand out a tract, Lord, whatever you've called them to do, just move on them and help them to be willing to step out there, because through their willingness, you will bless them. In Jesus' strong and mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Brian. If you're like me, you have 100 questions and curiosity about Uganda and what can be done. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Anyone can be a sponsor for a child. It doesn't take much. They have a 12-year-old that gives $10 a month. Who couldn't afford that? We have a 70-year-old who gives $80 a month. They have families that are giving $100 a month. It doesn't matter how much you give. It matters how much you love and how much you're willing to give. So we encourage you to stop by the table at the back. They have more information about adopting or sponsoring a child, and you can be involved in it. I wish we could take every one of you for a walk through Uganda or any of the poverty-stricken countries of the world. It will change your life, because we have no idea what it's like and how little children have to live and die in those places. So as we close, I'm going to change the closing song. We're going to sing a song that I learned many years ago. Some of you probably know it. It's Jesus Loves the Little Children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Will you stand with me as we're going to sing that? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Lord, our hearts break for little children. Many are diseased, many are abandoned on the streets. Many have no hope except through Jesus, that somebody would love them enough to give and help them to find Christ. I pray for Brian and Kim as they continue to do what you've called them to do. Lord, if you burden our hearts to be a part of it, help us to be sponsors for these children. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. You have a wonderful day.